I'd like to bring us a message today for anybody that has a broken heart. Many of us here knows what that means. You can think back to when your heart was broken and shattered and the tears came and you hurt as never before. Others here, perhaps the children, have never had that yet. But almost assuredly, everybody will one day. I'm persuaded that nobody in history has ever gone through his life without at least one broken heart. It may also be that someone here today has a broken heart. It can be caused by different things. There are different degrees and kinds of a broken heart. Maybe you know a friend that is going through that right now. It can affect Christians and non-Christians. Single people, married people, parents, little children, older saints, anybody. Let me give just a few examples. Once upon a time, there was a 12-year-old boy named Tommy. And he was at that age where he felt, I'm not a little boy anymore, so he told everybody, don't call me Tommy, call me Tom. And he went to his parents and said, I'm almost a man, so I'm getting too old to call you Daddy and Mama. I will call you Father and Mother. And also at this age, he began to notice girls are pretty. And he had his eye on one of them in particular. And oh, he thought, so this is love. And oh, he was thinking about her day and night. He decided to make his move. One day he went over to her house, rang the bell. She opened the door and he was a little nervous, but he said, well, you remember me. We met once and maybe we can become really good friends. Would you like to go down to McDonald's and have a hamburger together? And he says, oh, and he handed her a flower and said, this is for you. And he had a big smile on his face. Unfortunately, she did not have the same feelings for him. In fact, she laughed at him and said, a flower, how corny can you get? A special friend? I wouldn't be your best friend if you were the last boy on earth. So she threw the flower down and stepped on it and laughed at him, and he felt like that flower, his heart was being crushed. She went inside and slammed the door, and as intense as his positive emotions had been, now they were the exact opposite, and he didn't know how to handle this. His first broken heart, so he made his way back home. And when he got home, he was just stunned, and he was trying not to cry. He was biting his lips and his little chin was beginning to quiver. Poor Tom. And his mother comes in, and her mother's intuition told her immediately what had happened. She walks up to him and just says, Tommy. Tommy breaks into tears and just says, Mama. Falls into her arms. He had not yet learned that nobody is too old to cry. Even grown men, and grown men still need their mother. And most parents have experienced a broken heart such at that age. Sometimes parents forget, or they'll say, well, it's just puppy love. Yeah, but a broken heart is real to that puppy. Parents don't forget what it's like at that age for Tommy with his first broken heart. And then there was also Jane. Jane had gone through a top university, earned a master's degree in business administration, was offered and took a well-paying position with a large corporation, and she was climbing the ladder of success. Every year, promotion, a great increase in salary. She was now upper middle management, making $200,000 a year, and she felt the sky's the limit. I'm a success. And not only that, she said, Jim down in the accounting department has been taking me out to the best restaurants and concerts. and we're in love. And every time that I show up at work, he's already in my office waiting for me with a smile and a kiss. And I think any day now, he's going to propose marriage. Then one day, the vice president asked Jane to come into his office and says, "Jane, there have been reports about some financial irregularities in the company. $125,000 can't be accounted for. So we got Jim in accounting to look into it. And he's traced it back to you, Jane. How could you do this? How could you? We promoted you. We trusted you. You repay us by stealing this money. Don't bother to explain. We've got all the evidence. As a matter of fact, we've already contacted the district attorney's office and sworn out a complaint, and there'll be an assistant district attorney waiting at your house with a warrant for your arrest, grand theft embezzlement. A security guard will usher you out of the building. We'll send your personal belongings to you. That's all that we're going to say. You can consider yourself dismissed finally from this corporation." Imagine how she felt walking down the hallway with the armed guard. And it seems like everybody else in the office looked like members of a jury that had convicted her, and she was shamed. She knew that she was innocent. She hadn't taken any of the money. And then it hit her. It was Jim in accounting. That's why he was in my office every day going through my files. He's put the blame on me. And all of her dreams of romance and success were now shattered. And as she leaves the building, she gets into an expensive European sports car, drives to her parents' home. As she goes through the doorway, she's just shattered and shaking in the hallway. Her father looks up from the newspaper and says, "Janie, is that you?" And as he sees her, he realizes something is desperately wrong. He goes up and says, "Baby, what's wrong?" And all she can say is, "Oh, Daddy." Daddy doesn't say anything, just holds Daddy's little girl in his arms and pats her on the back and comforts her. Both of these stories are repeated every day around the world and in many other such cases of broken hearts. It can be in love, it could be a failed broken marriage, a failed business, an illness, unrealized dreams that backfire and hit us unexpectedly. Like the words of an old song, "When all the dreams of a lifetime must suddenly come to an end, brother, that's when your heartaches begin." Sometimes it happens to our noble warriors and sailors. Post-traumatic stress disorder used to be called battle fatigue or shell shock. Or it's sometimes described as a breakdown, a physical breakdown where a person has no more strength, can't even get out of bed, and at the breakfast table, takes all of his strength just to lift that spoon of cornflakes like it's 100 pounds. He's got no more reserves. A physical breakdown. Or a mental breakdown. Information overload. He's been working so hard with facts, figures, numbers. He's reached his limit. And he can't remember his name, can't count to 10. He says, "I just need a rest." Information overload. Or an emotional breakdown, where a person says, "I just couldn't take the stress anymore." A man was on the verge of this, and he went to the pastor and says, "Pastor, I think I'm about to have an emotional nervous breakdown." And the pastor said, "What makes you think that?" He said, "Take a stick and slowly bend it over your knee, and right before it snaps, you hear that cracking sound." He says, "I'm hearing the cracking sound in my life. I don't know if I can last one more day." Fortunately, with some wise and godly counsel, he did not crack, but some people do. Years ago, I was in a home Bible study, and I didn't know anybody there except the host and his wife that were leading it, and they were discussing something in the Bible, and I kept noticing a certain young lady sitting in the corner, and Whenever they'd ask, what did she think? She'd just say, oh, I don't know. And when everybody was looking elsewhere, I'd shoot a glance at her and I'd notice a very sad look of despair on her face when she thought nobody was looking. After everybody had left, I went up to the host and I said, I think that young lady is on the verge of a nervous breakdown. He said, oh, no, Kirk, she's always moody like that. And I said, no, I think it's beyond that. Maybe you and your wife can spend some time with her, maybe the pastor and his wife. A few weeks later, the man phoned me up and says, Kirk, you were right. A few days later, she broke, had to be hospitalized. How come we didn't see that? It can happen in various ways like this. Don't ever think it couldn't happen to you. Nobody is immune from a broken heart. Some of you know that you've already had a broken heart. The person that says, not me, I'm too strong, I'm self-reliant. Everybody has a breaking point. Everybody can have a broken heart. In any kind and sometimes unexpectedly. They differ in cause and degree, but what they all have in common is what the Bible calls a broken heart. The Bible also tells us the answer. We'll be referring to a number of Bible verses, so I'd ask you first to turn with me to Psalm 34. You may want to write down notes on this morning's message to share with someone else. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. A broken heart, a contrite spirit. Sometimes the Bible talks about someone with a broken spirit. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? One man said, I feel like someone has reached into my body and taken my heart out, put it on the table, and is beating it with a baseball bat. A broken heart. Painful. A person with a broken heart often suffers all alone. Nobody to comfort him. He isolates himself from others. He's anonymous, like a whipped dog that just wants to go by himself and lick his wounds. Job was like this, and David. Job said in Job 10:20, leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. And in Job 7:13, he said, my bed will comfort me. The person with a broken heart often wants to just stay in bed and doesn't want to get out, and he'll weep until, like David said, I'm drowning in tears. I wet my bed with my tears. One person said, I'm drowning in my own tears. Job had a broken heart and he didn't want to show it. In Job 9:27, he says, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile. Often the person with a broken heart puts on a mask, such as when they go to church. And everybody thinks all is well, but deep down all is not well. He's crying behind the mask. And often the brokenhearted person suffers all alone. Ecclesiastes 4:1, they have no comforter. Read the Psalms. David often had a broken heart and a broken spirit. Psalm 69:20, he said, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comfort, but I found none. When the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, the remnant there was broken, and Jeremiah said, she has none to comfort her. Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her. That's in Lamentations 1. And then Jeremiah identified with them And nobody comforted him. He said, they have heard that I sigh, but no one comforts me. Sometimes people will sit even in church silently, weeping inside and saying, doesn't anybody care? A very good friend of mine, a godly woman whose marriage was falling apart, and she was falling apart, went to Sunday school and tried to keep it in, and finally she just burst crying out and said, doesn't anybody know what I'm going through? My life is falling apart. My husband, my everything. I've got a broken heart. Please, someone help me. But some people don't cry out, they keep it in. Some are on the edge about to fall into a very deep black hole. 2 Corinthians 2:7 says, comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Swallowed up, drowning. One man, Toby, says it's like falling into a deep, deep black hole and you don't even see the bottom. And sometimes people back off because they don't want to tell people because they don't want to be hurt anymore. And they say, only those that have been where I am now know what it's like. And those that don't offer cheap advice, I don't want to be hurt anymore. So they refuse to be comforted. Jacob felt like this when he heard about Joseph dying. Was supposedly dying, and so the other sons came to comfort him. Genesis 37:35 says, but he refused to be comforted. David too, Psalm 77:2, I refuse to be comforted. They don't want to be hurt anymore. They say, I'd rather live with that pain I have now than to have it be increased. David often felt like this. Psalm 31:12 says, I'm like a broken vessel. It's like if you were to take a glass and drop it from 10 feet onto the pavement, it'll shatter into 1,000 pieces. A broken heart feels like that. Shattered. And who will put me back together again? Psalm 38:8, David says, I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. The Bible describes it like this, and many other such verses, a broken heart. Is there any cure? Yes, there is. There is a cure for anybody with any kind of a broken heart. The cure is in God. Sometimes that person just needs a good rest. Sometimes just a good night's sleep or a vacation, time off. They need to rest and regather their resources. In some cases, they need to go to the doctor, especially if there are medical factors involved, physical factors, sometimes medication. Sometimes is God's way of helping people through a broken heart. Sometimes, though, medication only pushes the problem deep down. It only deals with the surface symptoms. If there are any possible physiological factors in your case, go to your doctor, pray about it. Since I'm not a doctor, I will say no more. Avoid quick and rash cures. Rumors on the internet, quack cures that people offer, and prophets say just this or that. Ignore that. They're not much better than Job's comforters. Notice in the verses that I read, and many other verses, the key word that keeps coming back for the cure for the broken heart. It's the word comfort. The brokenhearted person needs comfort. And that includes three things: sympathy, kindness, and help. This is the comfort that some people can give some, but ultimately it's God that gives the great comfort with sympathy, kindness, and help. Now, just like rest and medication can be of help, there are other things that can be of help, even for a non-Christian. You ever heard of comfort dogs at the hospital or the nursing home? You know, it's been shown that sometimes they're well-trained and they can really bring comfort to the elderly or to the sick Or the brokenhearted. For years, one of our men that helped out at our weekly nursing home meeting on Friday, his wife had been a resident. When she died, he kept coming back for about 7 or 8 years and brought this darling little puppy, a little white dog named Sassy. It was very calming, and all the residents used to love to pet it, and it was a comfort to them in their old age. Some of the hospitals have them. Nursing homes, other places, some of them even have a little tiny Shetland pony. Or remember one year, a local farmer brought a reindeer in at Christmas and everybody petted it. And you could just see it was a comfort to them. Comfort animals can be of a great help, just like a pet. Some of you know what it's like. You've had a really bad day and you're sad or brokenhearted, and you come home and sit on the couch, and your little dog jumps up and just puts its head over your lap and looks up at you with those big eyes. Dogs sometimes can sense what their owner is going through, and they just want to offer comfort. But brothers and sisters, well as that might be, we need more than a comfort animal. We need God. We need more than what any person can ever offer us. God can give us. In Isaiah 51:12, God says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 34:18, as we said, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and such as those that have a contrite spirit. David, Job, and many brethren here can testify that when you had a broken heart, there was no hope except in God, and God saw you through it. I bet some of you could line up out in the auditorium lobby afterwards and say, Pastor, you are right. God was right there to comfort me in my worst hour of a broken heart. Now let's look at this. God is the great comforter. And as I prepared this message, I looked up many, many Bible verses, and I found out that God, being a Trinity, has comfort from the Father and the Son and the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Also the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter, sometimes translated as the Helper, the counselor, the advisor. The word there in Greek is parakletos. It's a Greek word meaning the one that comes alongside you to help you and to encourage you, and maybe even put your arm over his shoulder and help carry you along. Jesus said, I will send you the Spirit as the Comforter. Acts 9:31 speaks of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, the Son, is also a great comforter. In Luke 4:18, Isaiah 61 is quoted by Jesus and applies to himself. This was a messianic prophecy. Listen to it. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort those that mourn. That's one of the reasons Jesus came to this earth. Earlier I quoted Psalm 69:20, reproach has broken my heart. The very next verse is quoted in the New Testament and is applied to Jesus. That's a messianic psalm. Why am I saying this? Jesus is able to comfort us. He knew what it was like to have a broken heart. His heart was broken in Gethsemane and on the cross. Remember, a few months ago I preached on, he is the man of sorrows. He knows what it's like to weep. He knows what it's like to have a broken heart. There's even been discussion amongst doctors and theologians, did Jesus die of a broken heart? In a way, he did. When the spear was put into his heart and out came water and blood, that often happens of a literal broken heart. Isaiah 53:5 predicts Jesus and says he was bruised for our iniquities. And that's not just talking about physically. Jesus was wounded in his heart and his spirit. He had a broken heart for his people. He knows and he cares. There's a Christian song years ago. I forgot what it was, but it says, Jesus was like a crushed rose in the mud. and sinful humanity crushed him and ground him into the dirt when they crucified him on the cross. He is able to comfort the broken heart because he knows what it's like and he cares, dear brethren. And nobody can comfort like Jesus. He is the great comforter. He sympathizes. He empathizes. Don't you just know that when he was on earth and people came to hear him, other ones came to mock him or to get a miracle or to see a miracle, don't you know? There were always people that came to him with a broken heart. You see, a person with a broken heart can sometimes sense, I can trust that person for comfort. And they would come to Jesus, weeping, brokenhearted, sometimes falling in his arms, and Jesus holding them and comforting them, wiping away tears. Think about that man that came to Jesus and says, my little daughter is dying. Put yourself in that man's place. That was Daddy's little girl. My daughter's dying. Jesus, my heart's breaking. He probably can barely speak the words. And Jesus comforted him and also helped him by healing the girl. Jesus was a man of comfort and compassion. Matthew 12:20 quotes Isaiah 43. This is a very tender one. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. What's that? A reed is like a weed, a little bit thicker than that, and maybe someone has stepped on it, and it's broken, and it's just kind of hanging there. It's bruised. Sometimes we are like that. A broken heart. What the old timers would say, that hangdog look. And it says of Jesus, he won't break that bruised reed. He'll handle it very tenderly and uphold it and give it mercy and strength. Richard Sibbes, that great Puritan, wrote an encouraging book with the title, A Bruised Reed. So Jesus is a comforter. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself comfort your hearts. Now God promises and provides a general comfort for all human beings, even his enemies that don't believe in him. Out of common grace and general mercy, God offers a certain comfort even to them. He sees their tears. But God gives a special comfort of love for his children. Just like you parents, you'll try to help someone else, but you especially care for your children. When a child hurts, he needs comfort from his father or mother, just like Tommy and Janie needed their mama and their daddy. Let me share with you, in fact, turn with me to this verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 66. This is a verse I have shared with people when they have a broken heart, when they're weeping, when their parents died, especially their mother. I quote them Isaiah 66:13. God says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Now that does apply in context to Jerusalem, but the principle applies to all of God's children. God says, as a mother comforts her child, I will comfort you. Some of us remember when our parents, our mother comforted us. This verse meant a lot to me when my mother died. And I said, God, my mother comforted me as a baby, as a teenager, as an adult. She's gone. God, comfort me like my mother used to comfort me. But not just like a mother, like a father. Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Psalm 23:4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So how does God do this? The primary way is through the Bible. This is his book of comfort. It says in Psalm 119:50, David refers to scripture and says, this is my comfort in affliction. That's why I'm quoting so much scripture to us today. Whenever you have a broken heart, go to God. Go to the Word of God. Go to comforting verses like this that remind you that God reassures that He still loves you. And he won't break your heart. He won't break the bruised reed. Romans 15:4 speaks about the comfort of scriptures. It says this: whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with these words. Has that ever happened to you where you're brokenhearted, grieving, in great pain, and you read something in scripture and it just comes alive and you say, that's sweet medicine. That's just what I needed to hear. And though you're still weeping or in pain in your heart, yet you're beginning to take comfort. That's God comforting you through His Word. Philippians 2:1 calls it the comfort of love. You see, that's what a broken heart needs, is love. That's what little Tommy and Janie needed. They needed the reassurance of love. And that's what we need, brethren, with a broken heart. Let me use this analogy. On a cold winter's night, we put on extra blankets, maybe even an electric blanket. We want to stay nice and warm in there. When I lived in Europe, I noticed that they didn't put layers of blankets. They'd bring out a huge, really thick blanket. You ever seen those that are about sometimes 6 inches thick? And you get under there and you're nice and warm, a thick blanket. Went to my Oxford English Dictionary, and one of the definitions for the word comforter is this: a warm quilt. Do you see where I'm going with this? Years ago, I offered comfort to a young lady in our church. This was back in Texas. Her brother had died and she was really hurting. So I read some scriptures, prayed with her, and I said, may the Lord wrap you in a blanket of love. Weeks later, she said, Kurt, you don't know, that meant the world to me when you said a blanket of love. It's almost like I felt God's arms coming around me with those scriptures you gave me. Brethren, I would share that with you. Just like swaddling clothes around a baby or someone that needs a hug of love, God offers us a comforter, a warm quilt, a blanket of love. Now, God does this through His Spirit. He does it through His Word. He does it through His people. We that are Christians need to be His arms to reach out with comfort, love, reassurance, sympathy, and help to the brokenhearted. I bet everybody here, if you thought about it hard enough, you'd say, yes, I think I know someone that's brokenhearted, that's on the edge. Let's be God's arms to reach out to that person, whether believer or not. Paul was like this. Listen to these two verses. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Paul was like a comforting mother. But then in verse 11, he says, we comforted you as a father does his own children. So God calls upon us to do this. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. That's not just for preachers, that's for all of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other. You may be thinking of 2 Corinthians 1 where God says He comforts us in our affliction, our broken heart, so that in turn we can comfort others in any affliction. Whatever it is, whether we've had that specific one or not, let's pass it on to others, as Paul did. You see, Paul not only comforted others, he had been comforted by others. You say, great, Apostle Paul, yes. He knew what a broken heart was like. He says his heart was breaking for his fellow Jews because they didn't believe in Jesus. He was comforted. Colossians 4:11 says, they have proven to be a comfort to me. Even the Apostle Paul. Preachers, missionaries, and others need comfort too sometimes. Parents sometimes need to be comforted by their children of whatever age. Parents are to comfort. By the way, parents are not to be the source of pain to the children, but the source of comfort and encouragement. But sometimes it's one or the other of the parents that is going through a broken heart. Just like nobody can comfort like a parent, sometimes those little ones can really comfort their parent. Often, it's the little one that has been laughed at and bullied at school that is very easily moved to tears. We'll see mama or daddy hurting, and that's the first one will go there and just kind of snuggle up close to mom or dad and feel for them. Thank God for children that will comfort their parents. Let me say this word to you, children of whatever age here. You might be a little one, teenager, young adult. Your parents have comforted you. One day, you'll be called upon to comfort them. Your grandparents will one day pass away, and you'll love them. Your grandparents, your parents are closer to your grandparents than you are. That's their mama, dad. And when they die, your parents will have a broken heart. They will need you to comfort them. When my grandmother and grandfather on both sides died, I comforted my father, my mother. And then when my dad died, I comforted my mother. We need to comfort the brokenhearted. We need to be known as comforters. We need to. I heard about one little child that didn't know what to say, but he saw mama crying, so he just walks up with a little flower and says, "Mama, I love you." You know, she burst into tears, gave him a hug. Just simply a little word or a gesture can be a great comfort. Remember a song when I was young about a man that his wife had died and he was really brokenhearted, and the little boy and the little girl came up to him and the song went like this: "Daddy, don't cry. Daddy, please don't cry. You and me and little Tommy together will find a brand new mommy. Daddy, please don't cry." Sometimes children need to comfort a father or a mother. Comfort one another, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, comfort the faint-hearted. Some people are always faint-hearted. They never seem to get enough courage. We need to encourage them with comfort. Be like Joseph. We mentioned him earlier when it found out that he really was alive and his brothers were now afraid that he was going to get vengeance. Notice what it says in the book of Genesis. He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That phrase is very picturesque in Hebrew. You know, Hebrew is a very picturesque language. It uses word pictures that are very vivid. The Hebrew there is used various places. You know what it literally is? He spoke to their heart. Joseph knew how to comfort him because he knew what a broken heart was. These were the brothers that had sold him into slavery. He was there in Potiphar's wife. He knew a broken heart, and now he could see fear and a broken heart in them. He comforted by speaking to their heart. Brethren, when you know someone with a broken heart, speak God's love straight to their heart. Sometimes without saying anything. The best thing that Job's comforting friends ever did is when they came and for 7 days didn't say anything. Then when they spoke, they said the wrong thing. Sometimes we just need to be there with an open heart, open ears, and a closed mouth, and just be there with that person. And they can sense you care. I remember, in fact, it was 40 years ago, almost to this very week, I was in the hospital when I was in seminary. And some of you know I had life-threatening cancer. And I didn't know if I was going to survive. It was very painful in the surgery, and I was recovery and going through radiation. I was thinking all my dreams of being a preacher are going to fail. I'm going to die. A couple of people from the church came, and one dear brother in particular, young Christian from Zimbabwe, Africa. And we were about as different as black and white, literally, but we loved each other and we had the same Savior. He came to the hospital, didn't say a word. He sat down, held my hand, and as I sat there weeping, he wept with me. That was a great comfort. The Bible says, weep with those that weep. When you go and comfort someone, brethren, consider weeping with them. some other expression of comfort, as if to say, I care. And I'm here with, on God's behalf, to show you comfort and love. Which Christians would you go to when you have a broken heart? Sometimes we sense who are the ones that we can go to. On the other hand, I know some preachers and Christians that I wouldn't go to if I had a broken heart. Maybe you know people like that. You'd say, that's the last person I'd go to if I was really hurting. That person is cold as ice. Would others with a broken heart come to you? Would they sense that person, that man, that woman, that's a person that can I can trust with my broken heart and I can go to? Let's be like that sort of person. You see, David had a broken heart, but he comforted. So did Paul, Job, and others. We need to be like that. God sometimes breaks our heart so that later when it's healed, we can sympathize with someone and say, I know just what you're going through. And they'll say, no, you don't. And you say, well, let me describe it. And they'll say, only a person that's been through it can describe it like you just did. We need to reach out to them. We shouldn't be like Job's friends, his comforters. Job 16:2, Job said, miserable comforts are you all. They said and did the wrong thing. And I've often said this. They were a bad example. Maybe they meant well, but they sure jumped on poor old Job. He really was suffering. They said the wrong thing. What should they have said? What should they have done? When you see a bad example, ask yourself, what should this person have done? So someone might not offer much comfort. How can we offer good comfort if you know someone like Job? Well, Job told them. He came right out and said, Job 6:14, to him who is afflicted, that is brokenhearted, kindness should be shown by his friends. So when you have a broken heart, you want someone to be kind and gentle. Like when you go to the doctor and you're burnt or it's hurting and you say, doctor, be gentle, don't hurt it. A wise doctor knows how to be gentle and tender when you're hurting. In the same way, brethren, we need to be sensitive to someone that's breaking deep down in their heart. Be gentle, or as Job said, kindness should be shown by his friends. Even if that person's sins brought him into this condition. You see, that's what Job's comforter said. Well, your sins have done this, so they come and they jump on him and they whip up on him. Even if Job's sins had brought this upon him, that should not have stopped them from showing comfort. We call that grace. God's gracious to us. He gives us comfort even when we have brought this upon ourselves, which is not always the case, but even when it is. One of my heroes that I looked up to in a previous generation was the great Dallas Cowboy coach Tom Landry. I'm not saying that just because I've lived in Texas a long time, but he was a very godly Christian. I had heard his testimony, read his biography. He gave some good advice to other coaches. He said, you know, when your team really blows that big game, don't chew them out the next morning. They knew that they blew it. They don't need to be chewed out. They need to be encouraged. Never forget that. If you know someone that's brokenhearted because of some sin in his life, that's not the time to jump all over him like Job's friend and wag your finger. That's the time to come up alongside of him like the comforter, the parakletos, and encourage him. Landry would say, okay, we lost the game. Got another game next Sunday. Tom, you can play a good game. Vince, back there in the backfield, you can do a better game. I know you can. Let's go over the drill. And he had encouraged them. We need to be like that. That's how God is with us when we're brokenhearted, when we've blown it. God says, I haven't thrown you out with the noonday garbage. He comes alongside of us. And sometimes God steps in to comfort us in an unusual way. I was thinking of Isaac in the Old Testament, and he was the only son of Abraham at that time, and evidently he was especially close to his mother Sarah. And then when Sarah died, his heart was broken and nobody could comfort him. One day it says that he was out in the field there, but His father Abraham had sent Eliezer into another country to be the matchmaker and bring a wife back to Isaac. Brings a wife back, and of course you know who that is, Rebekah. There's a precious verse. Look it up, Genesis 24. When he meets this new woman and falls in love and gets married, it says this: then his heart was comforted after the death of his mother. Sometimes it takes us a long time to go through the valley of tears and grief. And one of the ways God comforts a broken heart is by bringing us into a new relationship. It might be husband or a wife or a family with a new baby. I knew a family that was really grieving. Then they had a baby. And they said, this is God's baby. This is a new way of comfort. And things began to change dramatically. God can work in unusual ways in providence to comfort us. Lastly, there's a broken heart of repentance. Earlier we read Psalm 51. That was after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And when Nathan confronted him, thou art the man, he broke spiritually. He was contrite. He repented. And he poured out his heart. In Psalm 51, that's what the whole psalm is about. In verse 17, he says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Sometimes we wish we could offer some great song of praise or some great deed. And sometimes we say, I can't do anything for God. Not now, I am broken hearted. All I can do is cry. Offer those tears to God as a sacrifice. Offer your broken heart to Him. Some of you, especially ladies, will remember the great and godly Elizabeth Elliot. Shake your head. Some of you have read her books. Very godly woman. She had some great wisdom on this, especially for women. She said, there'll be times your heart is absolutely breaking as never before. The tears come and you can't stop them. And she said, if you are a child of God, take that heart and take those tears and offer them to God as a sacrifice of worship. And say, Lord, I hurt, but I will still love you and I give you my tears. There's wisdom in that. David said, a broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God or a broken spirit. Brethren, we go through this life, broken heart, sometimes when we don't expect it. But there will be an end one day. When we get to heaven, no more broken hearts, no more broken spirits, no nervous breakdowns, no battle stress. All of that will be long gone. We'll be in the arms of God who comforts us. May God use these words, especially from His Word, to comfort anybody here with a broken heart. Let's pray. Our God and Father, you are the God of all mercies, the God of comfort. You know when we really do hurt. And you know when we are brokenhearted with a broken spirit. Come and comfort and help us as only you can. Carry us through the tears. Receive our tears as our sacrifice. Help us, Lord, to comfort the brokenhearted, even if that means breaking our hearts so that we can sympathize with them. Lord, give us a tender heart, a sensitive heart for those around us with a broken heart. In Jesus' name, Amen.